I'd like to thank Carol Diamond for last year creating this Tekes Yom HaZikaron at this point. Those of you who, I think almost everyone here who was in Eretz Yisrael, knows that the night of Yom HaZikaron, there is a very, very special gathering at the Kosel with a siren at 8 p.m. It's about 9.5 hours ago. As Rav Weinberger pointed out, this is a month of Hatiyas Nech, of listening. I think we can all hear the siren. And the fact that we're coming now from the Beis Medrash, from our Mikdash Ma'at, I think that we can close our eyes and put ourselves standing at the Kosel, listening to the siren, and remembering. As Rav Tursky Shlita pointed out today, when we speak about remembering, it doesn't mean that we recall, because we can't very well recall that which we never knew. But rather the concept of Zikaron, Yom Zikaron, means to identify with. Kimide Dabri Bo Zachar Es Karenu Od. It means to experience, to have all of time merged together, past and present. And so now if we can close our eyes figuratively, listen to the siren figuratively, and experience a conversation in a Beis Avel, listen to a conversation in the Beis Avel of 7 years ago during and after the war in Lebanon. I was asked to speak this year both at the beginning of Yom HaZikaron and at the end of Yom HaZikaron. So I'd like to use two sets of stories, two sets of texts, but one theme of Zikaron that we should experience. We should feel a sense of oneness. The first story is a story that I spoke to some of you about last week, but I want to re-experience it. There was a soldier. He was 35 years old. This is not a regular soldier. Regular soldiers are 18 years old, 20 years old, 25 years old. This is an individual who served in the reserves. He served in the reserves in a unit that was known for not knowing what the unit was doing. A special unit, whose exploits probably will never be known by anyone other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His name was Emmanuel Moreno, Hashem Yikom Damav. And during the war, the Lebanon War, he and his unit were sent on a mission to intercept an arms shipment that was being sent across the Syrian border to the Hezbollah. The mission succeeded, but he was killed. His wife and his children sat Shiva, and an individual came in whom they didn't know. That's not unusual in Eretz Yisrael, that people will go to Menachem Avel, even though they're not relatives, and not friends, but simply call Yisrael chaverim. It's a time where everyone gets together. So a non-religious army commander came in, and he told her that he was on the helicopter on the way to the site of the mission along with her late husband, and he may have even had the last conversation that Emmanuel Moreno had in his lifetime, and he wanted to repeat the conversation to her because it made a tremendous impact on him. And he says how he was sitting next to Emmanuel Moreno on the helicopter, and Emmanuel turned to him and said, "You know, only 10 days ago there was a helicopter like this flying like this over Lebanon, over Lebanon, and it was hit by an enemy missile, and everyone on the helicopter perished. And who knows, this could happen to us as well. And so I want to ask you, Sholof Toch Pele Satan, if a missile were to hit our helicopter, and we would make a cheshbon that we had 5 seconds to live until the helicopter would explode and we'd be killed, what would you do during those 5 seconds?" The officer told Emmanuel Moreno, this is what he told the widow, he said, "I would have just closed my eyes and just waited and just hoped that it would not be painful." And then he turned to the widow and he said to her, "That your husband turned to me and said, I wouldn't have done that. I would have said Kriyat Shema. I would have said Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, in those 5 seconds. And if this happens, I would advise you to do the same. Because if one says Shema during the last 5 seconds of his life, that gives meaning to those 5 seconds. Those 5 seconds serve as a step to the next level. And then the Etzem, his entire life had meaning. All of his life were steps to the next level and steps and steps. It was all one continuity of meaning. But if in the last 5 seconds of one's life, one has nothing to say, if a person can't infuse meaning into the last 5 seconds of his life, if there are meaningless 5 seconds, then maybe his entire life was meaningless. Maybe his entire life was only a desire for pleasure or comfort. And then when that's impossible, in the last 5 seconds, there's nothing to live for. The question was, what was the entire life worth? Those words the Menachem told the widow, those words are indelibly etched in my mind. I'm never going to forget them. This theoretical scenario that was raised by Emmanuel Moreno in the helicopter, in that war, was not only a theoretical scenario. There's a picture on the pages that you have of a young individual named Roe Klein. And I think we all know his story, but it pays for us to repeat it. It was dawn, or close to dawn, after a night of battle. And the commander of his unit, a fellow named Merchavia, came over the intercom that he had been wounded. And so Roe Klein decided to take a number of his soldiers and to bring him back across the lines. Got a group together, they found Merchavia, two of them put him on a stretcher, and as they're about to move, a grenade was thrown. Roe Klein realized that if the grenade exploded the way it was, they would all be killed, all of them. He jumped on the grenade. The grenade exploded, and he saved the lives of everyone around him. And during those last 5 seconds of his life, according to the soldiers who were there, in their language, bekavana, mamash bekavana, kmo basipurim, hu amar bekol, shma Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. When people went to be Menachem, his wife, Sarah Klein, Shetichia, she showed them a letter that he had written to her a week before they got married. And as she showed the letter, she said, I want you to know that before he left on that last mission, I wanted to tell him, Tishmor al atzmecha, take care of yourself. But I was too embarrassed because it was just something that I never told him, because I knew what he would say. He would say, what do you mean, Tishmor al atzmecha? I'm going to war. So what I used to tell him was, Tishmor echad al hasheni. But the letter that he wrote was a letter, you think to yourself, a person's writing a letter to his kala a week before they get married. He wants to express to her his hopes for their life together, Admei Ve'esrim. I'm going to leave out of the letter those parts that are personal, but just to understand what a letter can be. Yehi ratzon milfanecha, Hashem Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoteinu, shenizkeh lehakim binyan adei ad, bayit biYisrael, mitoch ideal Yisraeli, mitoch rigashot u'machshavot Yisraeli, thoughts and emotions, yashar im hakel, to be straight with God. Mitoch yidi'a v'hargasha ve'emuna shlema, mitoch tzipiya l'geula, tzipiya l'yeshua ul'geulatan shel Yisrael. Mitoch achrayut, out of a sense of responsibility, l'dor ze shel ikfasa de Meshicha. Mitoch tahara v'tzniyut, mitoch anava v'hitbatlut, klapei ha'idiyal ha'yehudi. These were not empty words. He lived as an Eved Hashem. He died as an Eved Hashem. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem Yikom Damo, Yehi Zichro Baruch. These are two. Emmanuel Moreno, Roi Klein. There are 25,576 others. There are 25,578 Kedoshim who are buried in cemeteries in Eretz Yisrael, which means that there are 25,578 families who are missing a father, a brother, a son, a husband, which means that there's no Jew in Eretz Yisrael. There's not one Jew in Eretz Yisrael who hasn't lost a friend, a neighbor, a relative, an acquaintance. And tonight, when that siren is sounded, when the ceremony takes place at the Kotel, Hatzibur Sharui Bitzar, Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael are all enveloped in a sense of loss, meaningful loss, but loss. So many special Jews who have been Moser Nefesh, Pshuto Kamashmao, for the Tzibur. And what should this mean for us here? Here in Washington Heights, here in the yeshiva, can we just say, we're not in Eretz Yisrael? Okay, let's just go on with our daily routine. This is not something which impacts on me. That's not what Chazal tell us. Gemara and Tainis and Daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph, Tanya. Bizman shehatzibur sharui b'tzar. That's now. Hatzibur sharui b'tzar. Al yomar adam elech lebeiti v'ochal v'eshte v'shalom alecha nafshi. That can't be our response. So what then should our response be? Is it enough that tonight we'll say a kel malat? Is it enough that we'll learn a Mishnah, le'iloi nishmas, ploni or almoni? Gemara continues, Ella, yitza'er adam im hatzibur shekein matzina b'moshe rabbeinu, shetzir atzmo im hatzibur, shenemar v'yidei Moshe kvedim v'yikru even v'yasimu tachtav v'yeshev aleha. Gemara asks, "V'chido hayalo leMoshe kar echad o keset echad leishev aleha?" In the entire camp, they couldn't find a single pillow to put under Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a youngster. Put an even under Moshe Rabbeinu. Elakach Amar Moshe, Hoil v'Yisrael shuriyim b'tzar, af ani ehiye imahem b'tzar. Moshe Rabbeinu was davening for Klal Yisrael. Yidei Moshe. Yisrael mistaklim klape mala. Moshe Rabbeinu was doing his. They're fighting. He's davening. They're fighting. He's learning. Everyone's doing his role. But Moshe Rabbeinu felt, no, that's not enough. Elakachar mar Moshe, hoel v'Yisrael shruyim b'tzar. It's not enough for me to daven, and it's not enough for me to learn. Af ani ehye imahem b'tzar. I have to feel the tzar. That tzar has to be part of me. I have to feel that the loss is my loss. My brother. My neighbor. My friend. To feel those words of Rui Klein, to feel the achrayut of the door of Ikvis HaDemeshicha. And the Gemara concludes, V'chol ha-mitza'er atzmo im ha-tzibur, zoche v'roe v'nechemas ha-tzibur. We believe in nechemas ha-tzibur. We believe, as Rui wrote, mitoch tzipiya li-yishua v'geula. Every day, we daven for Mashiach, we believe Mashiach is on his way. There will be a nechama, but only if we're mishtatef in the tzar, will that nechama be our nechama as well? Kol ha-mitzayer atzmo im ha-tzibur, zoche v'roe b'nechemas tzibur. May we all be zoche to be part of the nechama.
That I can add nothing as Rav Miller said, but we all have to, as Rav Miller said, have to experience it personally. So at least I can act out what it means, maybe on a small level, to experience slightly the tzar that Klal Yisrael is in. The sacrifice on the highest level, which we speak of today, starts as a choice, not at a battlefield, not when a grenade is thrown, but far before that, when Jewish mothers look at Jewish children and say that it's possible that this most precious thing will have to be brought for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And it happens later in life when a person, as an adult individual, albeit a very, very young one, makes a choice to serve his people as a kravi, as opposed to any other choice that he could make with his life. And it happens even later, when knowing that armies amass at the borders of Klal Yisrael, that people are coming to take Knesset Yisrael, a person says that he'll do everything in his power, and everything means everything in his power, to forestall that eventuality. One of these many soldiers of Klal Yisrael, not one that looked like anyone in this room, not one that was zochet v'chinuch that we all are zochet to, one that grew up in limited circumstances and lived his whole life in a very small town, wrote to his son, Mordechai Gaon, wrote to his son, Yemichi. He gave him a picture of him in Miluim. Kana tavoeh ech anachnu olchim b'siur livdok im lo mitchabe b'shetach mishu shelo tzarech limatzebo. Here you see how we look when we go on an expedition to check if someone is hiding who shouldn't be there. Alak tefayim taloi maklea v'alagav kadurim lemaklea v'sach hakol dey kaved. On my shoulders I carry a gun, and on my back I carry the requisite bullets. Sach hakol, it's a heavy burden. Aval lo nora. Achshav ata yodea ma Abba oseh kesho olech l'miluim. Now you know what Abba does when he goes to miluim. Pashut oseh et kol advarim. Kedei she'atem, sham babayit, tuchlu lasot et kol advarim b'sheket. L'sachek b'sheket, v'afilu l'argiz echad et asheni b'sheket. I simply do everything that's necessary so that you, in our house, can sit and do everything you do quietly, peacefully. To play peacefully, and even occasionally to bother one another peacefully. Aval od mat gumrim, soon my miluim duty is over. V'az abba acher, shel mishu acher, yachlif oti. Someone else's abba will replace me. V'ad az, shalom ulitzot. Until then, shalom ulitzot. Baruch Hashem, Mordechai Gaon returned safely. But soon after, in Mohammed Yom HaKippurim, he was called again to the north. In the north, in a voluntary mission to protect protect essentially the backside of the Hermon, he was struck and killed. He left a wife and two sons. Hashem Yimkom Damav. I wish to speak in light of the sacrifice that each of these people made, of the sacrifice of one more individual. He grew up in situations far more similar to us, although he lived a bit before us. He was born in the year that the Medina was Hukma, in the year that it was created. He was named Yitzchak Menashe Davidovitz after his cousin Yitzchak Menashe, who was killed in creating the state of Israel. He was a younger brother to Avram. From the very beginning, he was a person who lived for Avas Hashem, simply loved doing mitzvahs. He wrote at a fairly young age, V'argasha apnimit choderet batzamot ad shekol atzmotai tomarna Hashem michamocha Moshiach Yisrael. Deep inside me, there's the emotion penetrates me into my bones. Until my bones themselves say, "Kol atzmosai tomarna Hashem michamocha, the Savior of Israel." He ran a Bnei Akiva group in which he taught Mishnayos. He enjoyed life in many ways. He played the accordion, used to play for smachos. He would take tiulim, he took pictures. And when it came the time, he went to serve in the army. He served for 2 years, and his constant wish while in the army was to bring together chilonim and datiim. He was himself a chanyok. He was a very makbin on mitzvos. But the same sense of burning Avas Hashem led him to burning Avas Yisrael. Chilonim in his unit described that he would put tefillin on them, that he would do everything possible to bring his unit together. After finishing 2 years in the army, he joined Yeshivas Merkaz Harav and learned there for several years. While there, he wrote a pamphlet about what it meant to be a soldier for Klal Yisrael. And he describes the balance of the two parts of Mesiras Nefesh. The Mesiras Nefesh in the army, Mesiras Nefesh in Torah. He wrote, Be'alef de Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan Tavshin Lamed, on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Tavshin Lamed, I was freed from Ishtacharti Mishirut HaTzva HaSadir. I was released from my army duty in the normal army. Uvebet de Rosh Chodesh, on the second day of Rosh Chodesh, the first day of Zman, Hitchalti shiruti b'tzva lomdei Torah. I began my shirut, my service, in the army of the people who learn Torah. And he learned with that eslavos, with that absolute affection for learning. At a later point, he married his wife, and they were zocha to see a son. But in the same Mechamed Yom Kippurim, where Mordechai Gaon fell, he was called up, and he left his wife behind, who was 7 months pregnant, went to the southern border towards Mitzrayim. Before going to battle, he called his gedud together, and they read Parshat Meshuach Mechama, the parsha that you read before going to war, as well as the Rambam. The Rambam says that Umeachar sheikodes adam bekishrei hamechama, when man strides into war, yishon al mikveh yisrael moshiyo beis tzara, he should rely on Hashem. V'yida sha'al yichod Hashem hu osa mechama, that is, when he fights, it's not fighting just for Klai Yisrael alone, but for the statement that God is one in this world. The yosim nafsho b'chapo, and he should put his heart in his fist, in his palm, v'lo yira v'lo yifachid, and he shouldn't fear and he shouldn't worry. You shouldn't think of his wife Rivka or his son Yochim. El yimche zichrom milibo v'yifne v'ypane mikol davar l'mochama. He should free his heart from everything and go to be moser nefesh. Again, his gdud was not only datim. His gdud was datim and chilonim, and every one of them remembers the kriya of the Rambam. One of them says he didn't need to open the Rambam to read it. As they went to fight, they fought in some of the worst battles that Klai Yisrael has seen in 2,000 years. And many, many people fell left and right. And as the war continued through Sukkot, he was makbid that they would have some feeling of what Yom Tov was. He would tell them, "Kichol she'asimcha gadol yoter, hanitzachon gadol yoter." As long as we're happier, to the degree that we're happier, the success, which he was assured of, will be greater. And when they came to Simchas Torah, and as they were standing on a battlefield davening rather hurriedly, he said, "Rabbosai, it's Simchas Torah." He said, "We have to sing." So he started singing, "Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem Es Aliyah Anavi." And they danced a little bit, and then, as the derech of stories on Yom HaZikaron go, as the derech of Lochamim in the army of Hashem is sometimes, they proceeded to continue the battle, and they went over the top of a tail, and they went down into a valley, and an Arab soldier stood up. Yitzchak Menashe realized what was happening. He shot the soldier. The opponent went down, but in raising himself up, he opened himself to attack, and he himself was felled. He left behind his wife, his son, and the girl who was then born, who was his daughter. The Mesiras Nefesh which he demonstrated was the Mesiras Nefesh which enlightened his whole life. It was Mesiras Nefesh that started from a very young age, a sense of commitment to Torah, to Am Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael. And it's one which he exemplified at every stage, in the Beis Medrash and in the battlefield. And it was miluveh, it was brought along with a very complete feeling of Avas Yisrael. He wrote in the same pamphlet which he used as a text for people entering service in Merkaz Harav, that El Chayal Shomer Mitzvot Ladat. It's incumbent on a soldier who keeps mitzvot to know Bevo'o LaTzava, when he comes to the army, Ki Atzal Hu Tzva Shel Ha'am HaYehudi L'chol Chalakav. Tzal is the army of Klal Yisrael in all of its many groups. U'Kashem Shu Chayav B'Torah Mitzvot, the same way he's Chayav in Torah Mitzvot. Even people who are far from Torah are chayavim in their mitzvot. The artificial distinction which was created, that they call some people datim and some not datim, eno kayam. It's non-existent. Ishnam v'amenu rak yehudim. In Klai Yisrael, they're only Jews. It's incumbent on us to remember what the Rambam says in the Hemshech, in the continuation of the same Rambam that he read before going to war. Kol Dmei Yisrael Tluyim B'Tzavaro. When a soldier goes to war, all of the blood of all of Jews is dependent on his neck. V'mlo nitzach v'lo asa mochama b'chol libo v'chol nafsho harizah k'mish shavach Dmei Yakov. If he doesn't go in Moser Nefesh for everyone, then who will? We're left with nothing else. It's incumbent on us, and I'm only repeating what Rav Miller said, that we consider these acts of Mesiras Nefesh on this day, that we ask on two levels how connected we are to Mesiras Nefesh of others, and how instilled in us is our own Mesiras Nefesh, and that we look to draw from the Mesiras Nefesh that began with Shaul and Yonason and that continues till this day, sources of continuing Mesiras Nefesh.
Al kiddushas Hashem ha'am v'aretz b'avor shanu mispalalim liloi nishmasam l'chein mal rachamim yastirim misizr k'novav li'olamim v'yitzror b'yitzror ha'chaymes nishmoseyem Adonai u'nachalasam b'gan eden menuchasam Yanuchu b'shalom ha'mishkelosam V'tamo l'chol Yisrael z'chusam V'yamdu l'goralom l'kitz ha'yamin V'nomar, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.